project is titled Improving Immunization Coverage, Clarifying Knowledge, Attitudes, and Beliefs of School Nurses. And again, I'm acknowledging Jesse Carlson from MIPH and my project assistant, Marilyn Kenny, because this happens to be one of my projects as well as the map. So hopefully in this little section, you're going to identify at least maybe one of the knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs of school nurses and how we are going to use those, what we found in this baseline assessment, to develop further programming. Part of the background for this whole project, though, is, you know, what's going on with healthcare workers? This title was in the Science Daily after the International Conference on Healthcare-Associated Infections in Atlanta this spring. Healthcare worker vaccination rates remain perilously low. Then these two percentages are actually seasonal influenza vaccine uptake with healthcare workers. And of course, and we like to use the word healthcare providers, but the literature from CDC is using this healthcare worker, so that's how I got this in here. And nurses are considered a healthcare worker. Duh. There's also, when you think about healthcare workers, some work done by Dan Salmon out of Johns Hopkins. He's now with HHS, though. And he found a relationship between the knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs of school nurses and the number of non-medical exemptions that were taken in the schools. So that's another little variable about healthcare workers. And then CDC's been doing a lot of focus groups, particularly since H1N1, but they have come across the importance of that healthcare provider's recommendation for a vaccine. So another key component about healthcare workers. Some of the literature also says that older healthcare workers get their vaccines more than younger. Those in the hospital tend to get them more than those of us in the community. And just think about our exposure. So those are some other little variables to keep in mind when you think about healthcare workers and what role they have to play in this whole project. So in addition to healthcare workers, we want to think about the immunization rates of the kids. Vaccine rates remain high for children, but that's the 19 to 35-year-olds. But look at the influenza vaccine uptake for 08-09, according to CDC. And I don't know why I put the healthcare worker in there again, but there you see the healthcare worker. With the children's vaccine uptake, there's some other challenges on the horizon. Well, one's right here, right now, the 2008 expanded recommendation for universal vaccine for seasonal flu. But there's also the evolving adolescent vaccines that are out there. The recent change in requiring a booster for meningococcal vaccine, which ACIP has recommended, and we're anticipating CDC will put that out in the MMWR. And there's other new vaccines on the horizon. So there are some issues about, you know, how can we improve vaccine rates? That prompted CDC to come out with to award several cooperative agreements focused on healthcare workers and how, if we look at their knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs, how can we influence the vaccination rates of themselves as well as the communities. And NASN was one of those that was awarded. It's a 3-year project, started in September of 2009. And this presentation is providing the baseline assessment for this project. The goal being to equip school nurses with knowledge, evidence-based resources, and effective immunization messages to increase their own immunization rates and the immunization rates of others. Now, a 3-year cooperative agreement, we cannot cover all the vaccines. So we are using seasonal flu as our exemplar. So there's some evidence that this is part of our role, and school nurses have been doing it for a long time. It's in our professional guidelines, our scope and standards, and our position statements. School nurses have state guidelines that they have to follow. And they need to incorporate what we're learning about healthcare workers' vaccine uptake and healthcare workers' recommendations, the importance of that. They do have, by enhancing their knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs, school nurses can impact the school and broader community by increasing that vaccine uptake, by decreasing those non-medical exemptions, as I mentioned from Dan Salmon's work, and increasing herd immunity. This study by Loeb et al. Talked about 61% reduction in influenza in a community, unvaccinated community, when the children were vaccinated. And herd immunity, as you probably know, we need 80% vaccinated. So what was the methodology for us to do this baseline assessment for this CDC-funded project? Surveys. We seem to like surveys. So again, partnering with MIPH, we developed an online survey. We used some of the questions from two of NASN's surveys, as well as we contacted Dan and used some of his questions from his survey. We sent it out in three waves to all our members, NASN members. And the N was over 2,800, and we had a 25% response rate for that. There are some limitations with this survey, though. It only has face validity. It only went to our membership, which does not include all school nurses across the country. So even though the response rate is high, it may not be representative of all school nurses. Some of the questions might have been misunderstood. One of the questions that I wrote was wrong, so that didn't help things either with the results. So those were some of the limitations. In addition to the survey, we conducted focus groups. We did 9 groups with 64 participants. These were done in December and January of last year, January of this year, December of last year. The criteria for the focus groups depended on, we tried to get a wide range of school nurse to student ratios. We looked at the number of exemptions, so some states had high exemption rates. I wonder if you can pick out which one that might be. How many of you are from Colorado? No? Boulder has very high exemption rates. and states that had low exemption rates, and we tried to use geography. Would we have liked to have had more focus groups? Yes, but funding was limited, so that's why we came up with these 3 states. Within those 3 states, we did 3 focus groups each. We did one with early childhood and elementary school, middle and high school nurses, and private and parochial school nurses. Now, limitations with the focus groups, as you know, again, it's open to interpretation since it is qualitative, but that also allows you to have a very rich description of the experience. The other limitation, though, again, we were doing it in December and January, a few months right after the H1N1. So while our questions were looking at immunization, knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs in general, most of the examples they kept coming back to were H1N1. So that is definitely a limitation. So what were some of the findings? The majority of school nurses agreed that children and school nurses should be immunized against infectious diseases. The majority strongly agreed that they trusted vaccines that have been around for a long time. But there was not so much strong agreement on several other points, which were actually surprising to me. There was not that strong of agreement around, would it be better to get your immunity by getting sick? Now, these are school nurses responding. Concern over the weakened immune system by getting the number of vaccines that kids have to have. And this one about hand washing, 55% disagreed, only 55% disagreed that hand washing is more important than immunizations. I would have thought that 100% of school nurses would have disagreed with that statement. And as I said, the knowledge question, there was one that was not good, thanks to me. The correct response range were 62 to 85%. So again, while the response rates were probably passing grade, they weren't great, even if we get rid of the one question that I did that was wrong. We do plan to resurvey this January. So we have rectified the knowledge question, so we'll have a better baseline for that before we pull out the program that we hope to have. On the online survey, too, another interesting finding. We asked them, had they gotten their seasonal flu shot? Remember, we're using seasonal flu as our exemplar. Look at the percentage rates of nurses, school nurses reporting uptake of seasonal flu. Do you remember what the healthcare worker percentage was? 44.1 is the average. And this really has intrigued CDC when they saw these results. What's going on with school nurses? Why is their uptake so, and maybe they're thinking they shouldn't give us the rest of the award since we aren't one of the groups that we need to increase the healthcare workers' immunization rates, but I hope they don't do that. Findings from the focus groups, these were the themes. Safety, concerns related to the safety of the vaccinations were mentioned numerous times in all the groups. Misinformation, all the groups talked about the false information that's on the internet and available to the public that's not evidence-based. Contextual factors, they brought up, again, school nurse ratio. They brought up school administration support, policies, and policies that aren't they're put in place, but they aren't regulated, they aren't followed through on. Barriers included access, enforcement, perception of risk, and culture. Dosage, they had concerns about multiple vaccines, what's the timing? Increasing the number of vaccines, that was a concern. Tracking came across on all the focus groups also, and exemptions. And I might mention that we are actually holding a summit, sustaining school-located vaccination summit next week, and addressing two key barriers that keep coming out in the literature. One of them is tracking. How do you track? How do you get the nurses involved in the registries? And the other is funding. So in conclusion, the majority of school nurses have a favorable opinion about immunization, and they the majority believe they should get the vaccine, and they recommend it to others, but there are some concerns that persist. The most frequent source of information that came out was the CDC and health departments. Next down the line, NASN was third. That was kind of nice to hear. Mm-hmm. State health departments and professional organizations. Contextual factors that we have to keep in mind, again, I just mentioned the culture, the policies that are in place, things that they want us to consider. So next steps, what are we doing with this assessment, this pre-assessment information? We are developing, we are going to reassess, like I said, in January. And not only are we just going to put the knowledge questions on the survey, because because CDC was so intrigued with that 83% vaccine uptake, they want us to explore that more. So we've got some questions. We're working with MIPH to explore why that high flu uptake. CDC has also asked us to, again, conduct some focus groups to tease out some of these variables. They want to see if there's something that is transferable to the other healthcare provider groups. We are going to develop an influenza. We actually have the draft of an influenza campaign that would go out to school nurses. It would be free to members. It would be one of those campaigns that, okay, what do you do in June? What do you do in July? What do you do in August? Anybody familiar with the Bone Health Toolkit from NASN? It's very similar. It's got resources, so it'll be a month-by-month kind of toolkit for the school nurse to use. Addressing, and also within that toolkit, we hope to address the erroneous knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs that have surfaced, like hand washing being just as important as a vaccine. And we hope to roll this out at the conference in Washington, D.C., which we'd love to see everybody at, in June of 2011. And, of course, we have an evaluation plan in place. So in closing, knowledge, attitudes, and school nurses may not be totally off the mark, but we cannot let our guard down. Promoting vaccines for vaccine-preventable disease for school nurses, students, and the broader community. So with that, and I do have two full pages of references, if anybody wants the references for this talk, that you can pull down from the website, or from the APHA website, correct?
I have a question about the toolkit.
Yes.
Is that going to be focused on influenza or all immunizations?
The question is about what the toolkit, what's the focus, and it is on flu. We're using flu as the exemplar. Okay. Even this meeting that we're pulling together next week, you're not invited, but sorry about that. we are trying to pull together 50 influential people in the Ronald Reagan building for a day and a half conference, but even that one, we're trying to just kind of keep the focus on seasonal flu,
okay,
just to keep the conversation going. But what we believe is with that example, that would work. You know, what would you do for a meningococcal vaccine campaign? What would you do for any other adolescent vaccines? Yeah.
Any other questions for Nicoli on immunization?
Mm-hmm. Oh, just a question. You said you're surveying again. The rationale for that second survey, you haven't done, the toolkit is not out yet, right?
Correct. We have a draft of it. Well, number one, to have a better baseline on knowledge. We're not resurveying attitudes and beliefs, okay? We're beefing up the knowledge, and then the additional questions are going to try to tease out why this 83% uptake of vaccine. So that's a serendipitous, this was not one of the objectives of this project, was to explore why nurses get seasonal vaccine, but it's become one.
And then just a couple of comments. One is that, interesting, I know you just said you're using influenza as your focus area, but pertussis, is really ramping up. We know in California,
yep,
and it's such a high incidence. And I just was online earlier this morning looking at the Colorado rates for pertussis, which we're really seeing again growing. Mm-hmm. So just in the back of your mind, at some point in time, that might be another area to look at, because you're looking at pertussis boosters in the school-age population.
Absolutely. And that came up in the Boulder focus groups. They brought up pertussis a lot. The nurses there say that they see it all the time.
In California, will be required for 7-12.
For the booster, yeah. It was just a matter of making a decision, and NASN had already put a lot of resources into H1N1 and seasonal flu, so that's how it evolved.
I have another question about the comments that they made about the increase in the number of immunizations required. Did any of them mention the increases in relation to no funding associated with them? That no funding goes to schools every time another immunization is required?
Funding from the school nurse, the question is, was funding brought up about the increasing number of immunizations that school nurses are having to track? Now, not all school nurses give them, number one, so they may not be interested in how much it costs or where the funding comes from. Providence, Rhode Island, for example, is a universal state.
Yeah, I'm talking about what it costs to track an additional immunization.
Oh, the cost of tracking was not brought up.
Okay.
No. No, it wasn't. Although tracking was brought up, and that they did talk about the time, you know, if we could just had a national registry. Now, CDC doesn't like to hear this. This is my little mantra all the time. When are we going to have a national? No, they don't want to hear. But if we could just look up and see from student that came from Iowa and moved to Colorado, or, you know, that it would make our lives so much easier. So,
just a comment. I've lived in several states. I was a school nurse in Minnesota when the varicella vaccine was entered into legislation, and our partners in Minnesota asked us to sign on to that bill recommending it as a mandatory vaccination. The Minnesota School Nurse Association would not support that until funding for the schools to mm-hmm. track an additional vaccine was included, and they did do that. They did include it as a condition of, and it did pass. So just, you know, the burden on schools, I mean, you say school nurses, but it's also schools without school nurses. The burden
yes.
on schools to be the enforcer of immunizations without additional funding, it has just grown exponentially.
And hopefully Martha is invited to this meeting next week. She will raise this issue, because we're focusing on funding issues. Funding, and the feds are going to be there, as well as people from education.
Yeah,
so
I'll speak up. Go ahead. More questions about immunization?
Oh, I just kind of, I had a comment. From mm-hmm. an earlier session by CDC, I learned, and I'm an immunization nurse, that they're getting very close to making hepatitis B vaccine recommendation for all HIVs.
Okay. The comment was that they're close to recommending all children with diabetes, all people with diabetes, to get the hepatitis B vaccine series. Mm-hmm. There were two other questions, yeah.
Last year, OSHA came out with something requiring healthcare workers to all receive H1N1 or to be fit tested for masks. Mm-hmm.
Actually,
were lost that.
Oh, well, that varied from state to state. I think I can answer this, Nicole. Are you more comfortable? The CDC didn't have good guidelines for what they should be requiring, and actually the subsequent research has shown that the regular surgical mask was sufficient for H1N1. What was your second question? It was the N95 or the vaccine?
Well, what the statement was from OSHA was that healthcare workers who would be possibly exposed, which we read to include school nurses,
yeah.
Had to either receive the vaccine and document it or be fit tested.
Okay.
And it was, we couldn't just use any mask. It was a fit test, which is different than just using
yeah.
a mask.
At NASN, we are not aware of any school nurse that lost their position because of refusing to get H1N1. One of the problems was that depending on what state you were in,
you were not considered a healthcare provider. Now, the CDC considers school nurses healthcare providers, but some of the states did not interpret the school nurse as a healthcare provider, and therefore the school nurse wasn't in that first group that was allowed to get the vaccine. And then because of their job being exposed to germs and young children, they frequently had already had H1N1 by the time the vaccine had come to their area, and yet still we saw that incredible uptake of vaccine. We did partner, NASN partnered with NIOSH on a specific OCHealth survey, and that those related to H1N1 and not having sufficient resources, not having the rooms to have the children 6 feet apart, not having the masks, any masks, let alone the N95, not having sufficient sinks. Many school nurse offices do not have sinks. We are, that data is being analyzed as we speak. That seems to have come up quite a bit this morning. And we hope to share that possibly at next year's conference, if not sooner. So, good questions, though. People don't think about OCHealth when they think of school nurses. And, you know, your support for protective equipment in a hospital environment is a lot better than in a school, simply because our managers don't understand what's required, what's needed. But we got tremendous support from the CDC on that. What they need is the evidence. Yeah. There was another question. Okay. Any more questions about diabetes? Thank you very much for coming. This was an excellent session. Thank you.